Hey yo, so last episode, which was yesterday for me, I got caught in a big crazy rainstorm, one of the hardest rainstorms I've seen yet. And it was kind of funny, like, oh my god, I can't believe how insane that got out of nowhere. Like, holy shit, it was fine 5 minutes ago and now it's like a torrential downpour. Like, even just trying to cross the street was, it was like walking through a tiny lake, you know? Like, I was sloshing through water. It was crazy. So yeah, that was just kind of like, ah, what a wacky thing. I had to go hop on a bus. I didn't really think about what would have happened. What if I got going earlier that day? What if I was an hour or 2 hours out into the woods and then that happened? Man, because that rain didn't stop for a long time. That actually would have been fucking terrible. That would have been super fucked. I mean, the hiking around this particular part of Taipei, it's like, I don't think I could have got too far away from town. But I would have been trudging through the rain for at least an hour. And when you're up on a mountain ridge, you know, there's limited options for getting off of it. And I didn't actually know what the exits were and stuff. It would have been really bad. So it occurred to me, maybe I should chill out until these, like, thunderstorm warnings. It's another couple of days of this. I should at least wait till these are over. And so far today's been really similar, where I went outside and it was like danger level heat. Like the kind of heat where just the littlest bit of sun exposure just felt wrong. Like I should be out of this. I should not be in this weather at all. And just in the time it's taken me to go start doing laundry, it's only like an hour later. Now it's clouded over and it's gloomy and doomy and it hasn't started raining yet, but it could at any time. Like it's crazy how fast the weather changes and how severe it is from like 100% pure sunny, like too sunny, like summer times two, unpleasant summer, to doom. Just, it's so eerie and gloomy now. And it's also good to, this is where, just because I somehow managed, because of my washing machine at my Airbnb and the humidity in the air, just not being able to properly clean my stuff, I got stuck with both of my pairs of pants smelling funky at the same time. So this was my solution. I washed one pair of pants the other day, and now I'm just doing more laundry midway through. Twice as quickly as I normally would have done laundry. I'm just doing a second batch to clean the other pair of pants to get everything back in order. Because my clothing is a very small ecosystem that all fits in one little bag. And if anything goes wrong with it, that's trouble. So it's good to just do laundry anyway. There's actually some mountains just in this neighborhood, very close by. I don't know how to get up onto them, but there are some buildings. There must be ways. Yeah, even if I just wanted to do a teeny tiny little mini hike just in my neighborhood, I think there's stuff. But I don't know how to begin, how to get to a trail. But that could be cool, because yeah, I mean, there's mountains here that are just like, I'm kind of at like a school, and right behind the school are a bunch of mountains. So I could do some little mini hikes where if it does start raining, I can immediately bail out, not passing to the edge of town and out into the wilds. Speaking of, University of Taipei is apparently where I am. Cool. But I'm also surprised how quickly I'm getting used to the giant, horrible cockroaches. Because I was saying how there's this, you know, I've had a couple of encounters in my Airbnbs with these cockroaches that are enormous compared to North American cockroaches. They're giant size. They're like 4 or 5 times bigger. They're so big. And how it just seems like dealing with a disturbing alien, you know, it just gets stuck in my mind. My mind plays on me about this fucking cockroach and just like, oh, I just hope it's not around. I hope it doesn't get into my room when I'm asleep, even though I don't think it could do anything. I don't think it's like dangerous. It's just creepy and weird and unpleasant and uncomfortable. Anyway, I saw it again last night in the little bathroom of the two bathrooms, the one that I usually use. And I've been trying to just like capture this thing in some Tupperware and let it out of the building. But I didn't have Tupperware with me. I would have had to go to the next room, and I've learned that if you take your eyes off these things for a second, they just disappear. So I just got a bunch of toilet paper in my hand, like four layers, and I just used the toilet paper. I just literally picked this thing up, but I didn't use enough pressure because as much as I'm like creeped out by cockroaches, I still am like, well, I don't want to hurt it. I don't want to just deliberately crush it. But it is a cockroach. I probably could have used a lot more force and it would have been fine. But since I picked it up so lightly, so gingerly, it squirreled away and squirmed away. But then it ran off into the little kitchenette and I grabbed a broom and it was kind of cornered in the corner. And I was trying to like sweep it out. I opened the door that leads out to the balcony. And I was trying to sweep this thing out, but the problem is there's the little lip. The door isn't flat with the ground. So I had to do it like hockey style. I had to, like it was a puck. I had to try to flip this fucking enormous nightmare cockroach like up over the lip and out the door. And I just couldn't. I managed to flip it upside down for a sec, but I couldn't get it out. And I'm just like, you fucker, come on, bitch. You know, I'm like, it's like I'm playing fucking air hockey or something. Foosball. With this fucking thing. It's like we're having a horrible little game. But it ran off again and it went and ran underneath some, like under the fridge or whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever. I tried. But yeah, I just went from this like horrible, creepy, like I just don't want to get near it feeling to just like I've literally had it in my hand. I touched it. I picked it up. Then I fucking had a little broom battle with it. And it just, it does take away. Now it just seems like it's a bad roommate. It's just this annoying, or like an annoying pet. Like, do what I want, you little fuck. But it definitely takes away the, like, scaredness. Now I'm just like, you're just annoying. Fucking go out the door, you stupid fuck. Just get out of here. I don't think you want to be in here either. I think you're trapped too. I don't think you know how you got in this house, and I don't think you want to be here. Go the fuck outside, stupid. But I couldn't. I couldn't get it to go outside. Uh-oh. Just felt a little bit of raindrops on my hand. But I'm just waiting for laundry to dry, so I'm just on a little laundry stroll. But yeah, hopefully even just this will just put the fear of humans in it a bit. Because I don't really give a fuck about this thing. I'm only here for 10 more days. I don't care if there's a cockroach. Live your life, cockroach. I don't give a shit. But it's just the brazenness of this thing. It's just strolling around in the bathroom while I'm in the bathroom, and it's just strolling around in the hall outside of the bathroom, and it's just like, do-do-do-do-do. And it's like, bitch, you're just breaking the social contract here, motherfucker. 99% of the time, no one's in this washroom. 99% of the time, no one is in this fucking little kitchen area. All you have to do is have the good graces as the tinier being that when the lights turn on and you hear someone clomping around, just go hide under the fridge. Just get out of sight. That's all. And the other 99% of the time, you can have this fucking whole place. You can scurry around and scavenge and do whatever you do. All you gotta do is just don't visually be in my fucking, in my world. I got my human world, you got your cockroach world. Just keep the two worlds separate. Don't try to just blasé, laze about in my fucking world. And like, that's how I managed to literally pick this thing up, is because it didn't even react. I like dropped the toilet paper on top of it and it was still just like, whatever. It wasn't until I physically picked it up that it started squirming and freaking out and it finally realized, oh fuck, this thing is a giant to me. I can't just let it do whatever with me. And then it made a concerted effort to get the fuck away from me. That's all I'm asking for, cockroach. Just don't make yourself known. Just don't pretend you're a person. You're not a fucking person. You live your life, I'll live my life. That's all you gotta do, is that 1% of the day is just get the fuck under something and get out of sight. That's all you need to do, cockroach. Then I'll move on to somewhere else and we'll both be just, that's fine. But anyway, yeah, I've definitely moved on from the existential dread of the cockroach. Now I'm just like, you little fuck. Fuck you. So that's nice, at least. Now I just feel like I don't know. I wonder if the size of it adds to that too. It does kind of weirdly humanize this thing more. You know, I mean, it's closer to like a pet rat or just a tiny pet than it is an insect because it's so fucking big. But yeah, it just makes it clear once you've literally picked one of these things up. There's no malice in the cockroach. It's just very fucking stupid. That's all. It's trapped in a place and it's so dumb it doesn't even know that it would be better off if it would just let me put it outside, but it doesn't know that. It thinks I was trying to kill it. So hopefully I freaked it out enough that it'll at least just stay away. Just stay hidden. For the tiniest little bits of your life that there's a fucking person around. That's all. Alright, it is starting to rain kind of significantly. Shades of yesterday. I hope that doesn't happen, actually. I hope it doesn't rain like it did yesterday. But the other cool thing is I've got my next Airbnb booked, and it kind of worked out really well. So there's a bunch of options in Taipei in the summer. Lots of options, all very affordable. I don't know if it's just that way in Taipei in general, or if it is because it's this like crazy summer weather. It does seem like a very bad time to come visit this part of the world. If you have limited vacation time, you don't want to spend it with this kind of heat. So I found one place that was like $400 for the whole month, and I'm like, that's pretty good. Just a room, $400, whatever. There was a little minor discount because I booked for the entire month. But it didn't have air conditioning. Uh-oh, hear that? Thunder. It didn't have air conditioning, and this is going to be from September to October. Presumably things will be a little cooler, but how much cooler will they really be in just 10 days from now? You know, seems like they're probably still going to be pretty bad well into September, if I had to guess. And I just didn't really want to risk it. It's just like, I just don't want to not have air conditioning. You know, I don't need to save money that bad. Because yeah, there's so many options around here. There's so many comparable places. I can spend a little more than $400. That's fine. Honestly, anything under $800 for a whole month, I consider a very good deal. And these are Canadian prices I'm talking about. You know, $400 Canadian. What even is that? American, you know, the vaunted American dollar. It's essentially free. So yeah, these are real good prices. Wow, there's instead of just like a water fountain, in this park I'm walking through, there's like water machines, like at the airport. Like a big, there's two of them next to each other, like a big, you know, 5 foot tall, like a mini fridge looking thing. And this one has not just cold water, but also hot water, which I have seen before, but warm water. I've never seen one that has warm water as well. This is extremely fucking fancy. It's pretty cool. And it's in a little like a bus shelter looking thing because it's such a fancy water fountain. That's pretty cool. But yeah, I figured I should look around more because I shouldn't take a place that doesn't have air conditioning unless I have no option. And I have lots of options here. So one thing I realized in South Korea is that it's kind of better to leave all the Airbnb stuff, leave off all the check marks, just search for everything and then sift through it on your own. Because I found that I was missing out on, you know, I wanted private rooms. I didn't want to share bunk beds and stuff. But I was missing some private rooms if I chose the private room option because not everyone had their listing properly set up. You know, they might not have it set as a private room, even if it is. So I found it was better just to leave things open and do it yourself. But there's so many options here in Taipei. It was just overwhelming. There was too much stuff. So I did start adding options. I was like, okay, give me a private room. And give me air conditioning. I like distinctly searched for both. And I still found a bunch of places. And with searching for a whole month, there were various monthly discounts. So like some 400, some 500, some 600. Again, all of this is like whatever. That's all fine to me. I don't, you know, the difference between 400 and 600, who cares? To stay somewhere for a whole month. If the place that's a little more seems better, that's fine. That is still a wonderful deal. But I was just having such a hard time choosing, and there was no particular neighborhood that I wanted because Taipei is so small. I was like, all right, there's over here by the 101, or there's over here by where I am now, a little bit north by the national park. there's over by Ximen, there's just like whatever. Like, it's just all, it's all close enough that I could get to any of the other places from wherever I was. Like, it just doesn't, that wasn't really relevant too much. So then I had the idea of, you know, some of these were only slight discounts for staying for a month, but I thought, why don't I just look at what's the deepest discount? So that's what I went with, is there was a place that it came out to be about $600 Canadian, but without the monthly discount, it would have been over $1,200. It's a legitimately expensive Airbnb. Just if you book it for the whole month, it comes down to the normal price. Where the other ones would be like, ah, it's supposed to be $600, but now it's $500. You know, a small discount. So I took a look at this one that's the massive discount. All the reviews were good. Private room, has air conditioning, and it's right across the bridge from Ximen. So where I started off this Taipei adventure, rain's getting harder. Head back to the laundromat. Do I have the umbrella with me? I think I do. She's all windy too. God, I cannot believe this is the same day that within like 90 minutes, the weather got this different. This is fucked, man. This is like, it always makes me think of the end of Ghostbusters. Just the impending doom. Fuck, yeah, I'm getting rained on like crazy. Shit. Here's a little awning. I'll just hop under there, get my umbrella out. But yeah, basically, when I walked across the bridge from Ximen, the first time I went to New Taipei City, and there was like a big park that just kind of rolls along up through to the west and then curving up to the north, it's basically right over there. I'm basically going to be right across the bridge from Classic Ximen. So basically, back in that neighborhood, near a train too, so I can just go wherever. So yeah, I thought that seemed like, I don't know, this is a nice situation to be in. This is the first time I've been traveling that I've had this many options, you know? Taipei is so flexible that I've never been able to do this before, but when I thought of it, I'm like, oh, that was a good idea. Find the one that was initially the most expensive and then go with the deep discount. So yeah, for my $600, I'm staying in a $1,200 Airbnb. And it is one of those things, like, I don't know, when a discount's that deep, I used to feel a little weird about it, about booking the whole month. Like, are they really okay with this? That's a lot of reduction in the price. But then I realized this when I stayed in Amsterdam, in Oudtshoorn, where I stayed at this one guy's place for like 3 weeks, maybe, that I was there every day, but his other room was only ever rented on the weekend. So he was getting more money out of the people who stayed for the weekend, but because they were only staying for the weekend, I think he was still making more money overall from me being there all week. And you're really not losing out on anything in those situations because the room would just be empty. People just don't need Airbnbs during random days of the week, you know? Everybody's working for the weekend. So yeah, even though they're quote-unquote missing out on $650 or something, if they had rented the room out at the full price for the entire month, they wouldn't. They would not be able to rent out the room for the full price for the month. It would just be little drips and drabs, intermittent bookings, probably just on the weekend. So they're probably still coming out better by renting to me for the whole month. Or at the very least, you know, comparable. And you don't have to worry that someone's going to book it or not. It's just booked. September's decided. But yeah, this is what I always liked about Airbnb that I have missed greatly in North America. This is what I think is cool about it, is just relatively low to the ground, relatively simple accommodations, just rent to somebody for a relatively long period of time for a relatively small amount of money, but it's just nice and stable. And I love the, just the basically review-based system of it, you know? Like, I just have a string of reviews that I don't know if anybody even checks. Probably not. They're probably just like, hey, this guy wants to rent the room, that's fine. But should they want to, all my reviews are good, you know? It's just like, there you go. I have a nice paper trail. Where, man, the last apartment I got on my own in Vancouver, like, what a disaster. Like, oh, you gotta call my work and you gotta make sure I got a job and you gotta make me jump through all these hoops and I gotta sign a lease for a whole year and the place sucked balls. and it wasn't even cheap, and it just sucked. And then during COVID, I just moved in with my cousin, but it was a very strange situation where he then moved out. So me and my other friend were just on this lease that we had never signed up for in the first place, that we never actually... Actually, I don't even know. I think my cousin inherited it from someone else. I don't know. Anyway, I just remember once things had to switch over, it's again just so many hoops and such a pain. And I know like rental people want to protect themselves, but I just hate it. I hate dealing with all this stuff. It's so many hoops and so tough. And especially, I mean, at least when I was in Vancouver, I had a job. During COVID, I didn't have no fucking job. I didn't do shit. So it's hard to convince someone you're a citizen. I love the Airbnb method of like, let's just forget about all that shit. We don't need all of these assurances and paperwork and calling bosses. We know you're not gonna fuck us over because you've been within the air, you've been working inside this Airbnb system for years and years. So you're trusted within this system. And it just works so much better for me. It's like, you know, let my actions speak, not my fucking place in society, because I have no fucking place in society. I'm barely a citizen. They won't give me a proper credit card, you know? It's just like, it's annoying. I hate the bureaucracy of like North American society. It's the worst, because I didn't go to university after high school, and I didn't take out a credit card or take out a big student loan debt. And I just was never a citizen ever since. It's like I don't fucking count in the system because I didn't do the thing everybody does. And it's fucking annoying. And I didn't hold down a consistent job either. It was just always different jobs and then quitting them at a whim. But fuck you. I don't want your life. So yeah, Airbnb was a great thing for me. I'm just like, awesome. I can just go get a room different places and just, it's great. But it doesn't feel that way in North America anymore. It's a pain in the ass in North America now. It's expensive and hard to find places and not very fun. Oh yeah, Taipei is bringing the fun back and South Korea. Just book a weird little place, pay a tiny amount of money, live in a shoebox the size of a prison cell. But that's fine with me. That's all I need. Well, darn it. This is not like epic rain like yesterday, but it's not small rain. It's pretty big rain. And I've wandered a ways from the laundromat, so I guess I better get my umbrella out and try to make it on back there. Wish me luck. So friggin' annoying. God damn it. This fucking rain. So yeah, it's not as bad as yesterday, but it's real bad. So just because getting caught in the rain yesterday, just trying to keep my boots, you know, again, because things don't dry in the humidity around here. I managed to get my pant legs yesterday and my boots dry because I realized in the entryway to the apartment that one of the other people's rooms, their air conditioner is there. So the exhaust that blows out of the air conditioner, I have no idea what quality of air blows out of the back of an air conditioner. It's probably gross, but whatever, it was air, you know, that was kind of warm and was moving, you know? So I put my pants, hung my pants and put my shoes by that fucking thing just so it would dry them. And just today, they're just fucked again. It's this awful, gross feeling of like, my socks are completely wet. Everything inside my boots is wet. My legs are wet. And even my book bag is surprisingly wet. And like, even if I put my dry clothes in this book bag, like shit, you know, fuck. I wish I had a plastic bag or something. I don't want my dried clothes to get wet on the way home. This is just fucking annoying. And this is reminding me of, I mean, I like rain conceptually, just to stand here at this open doorway of the laundromat and look outside at the rain. This would be great if I didn't have to go back out in it. I got quite a long walk home. And there's awnings, you know, some of the way. bus did just go by, but then there's the awkwardness of then I got to figure out when the bus is coming and go wait for the bus. Buses seem very, very infrequent around here. I mean, my main example was that mountain road. That was extra infrequent. But every time I walk by a bus stop, I glance up, and it always seems to be like 26 minutes till the next bus. Anyway, I guess it's a minor problem. But yeah, this does remind me. There was one of the years I was trapped home in COVID times that was especially warm. And that's when I do remember realizing how much I prefer snow to rain. Because I would always walk across town like once a week just to go see the fam. And walking through the snow is no problem. You get bundled up, it's pretty, it's nice. When you get to the other end, you just brush off the snow. Everything's great. If you walk for 2 or 3 hours through the rain, it's just a miserable life. It just sucks. And then you get to the other side and you're just wet. And things, again, aren't going to dry in time by the time it's time to leave. And it's just the worst. I hate the rain. It fucking sucks. What I need is, I don't know if this was ever a real product or if it's just one of those wacky internet things, but I do remember seeing an umbrella from Japan where the umbrella had like a shower curtain around it that hung all the way down around your body. Because yeah, this shit was coming down sideways, partially, on my way here. Yeah, I also did a little research on humidity, and I basically learned that it's not worth trying to learn. There's so many variables. So it's like, does 100% humidity mean it's going to rain? No, not necessarily. It can mean blah, 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 blah. And the humidity number is based upon the current temperature and various factors such as wind and yada, yada. Essentially, the percentage of humidity, it just means nothing. It's not relevant. I mean, you can look it up and say like, oh, it's high or it's low, but it's total meteorological stuff. It's not for the average person to understand or be able to figure out in any way. So I guess that's good to know at least. Don't bother trying to learn. All right, that's enough of my cranky ass for today. Let's call this to a close and hope for a less rain-drenched adventure when I fade out and fade back in again. All right, it's the next day, and it is kind of, it's like weirdly Groundhog Day-ish, where I woke up and checked the Taipei weather, and yeah, it's just a cascading index of reasons you should not go outside, you know? It's like heat wave warning. I saw some additional warnings about like, hey, if you're outside for too long, you have a chance of dehydration. I don't know, maybe that's been a warning that's been around and I never noticed it before, because I don't know why they wouldn't just kind of say that every fucking day in the summer. But I noticed it today. And then also the thunderstorm warnings. And as I was walking, like I left the house and it's beautiful. It's exactly the same, where it's beautiful blue skies and occasional little white puffy cloud. But then as I'm walking, I can see the grayness on the horizon. The grayness is not as bad today, but it's there, so we'll see. We will see. But basically, I'm ready for it. I'm deliberately walking into the fray today. So I got an umbrella, I got a raincoat, I'm all set to go. So I'm staying closer to civilization today. Still going on a hike, but yeah, not a out in the middle of nowhere hike. This is the Tianmu Historic Trail. This is this kind of little mountain range I saw yesterday that it's like, how do I get there? And it turns out if I leave my Airbnb, I just turned left and walked, and I got to the entrance to the Tianmu Historic Trail. So I'm on my way up, and so far it's very South Korea feeling, where there were a lot of places in South Korea where a path or a little road or whatever would just kind of pass by some very, very old houses. And that's happening here. It's like stone steps and little walkways, stone walkways. It's all really well. This is obviously a pretty famous thing because it's very well. Again, I guess everything has been extremely well maintained here. in Taipei. The only thing that's been kind of like a rough and rugged trail so far is up by Soochow University that I can't get back to because the sky keeps opening up or the heat destroys me. The weather has not been good enough to go that far out, but everything within the city proper is like super well maintained. And yeah, just walking up these steps next to some houses, and I mean, does someone live here? It's number 39. It's like a little, you know, kind of like a country shack, sort of, almost like a lean-to. Just like a real simple house with the corrugated steel roof. The kind of thing like you just kind of can't do in Canada because it's too cold. Like, this place obviously doesn't really have insulation. But in this climate, you can just have a very simple house. I'm sure it sounds offensive for me to call it a shack or a lean-to. I'm just thinking back to my King's Quest youth. I don't know, those are the words that they used for the ancient dwellings. That's kind of what it feels like. Oh, hey, cat. Didn't even notice you. Hey, buddy. I'm afraid I got nothing. All I have is, I've been buying lately for, like, to have a little snacky snack while I hike. The dried fruit is my favorite. Dried plums or dried apples or dried various weird berries. Just got dried mango today. But that's all I got today, is dried mango that it didn't open. Sorry, kitty. And yeah, now there's a massive set of steps ahead of me. So I'll probably turn this recorder off, but I did want to mention, I mean, I think if I just wanted to boil down why I like being in Asia more than North America, if I just had to put one thing on it, it is just the mountains. Just the fact that it's so hilly and mountainous. That you can't just leave your house and walk up hundreds of steps, you know, in North America, unless you do it in a super artificial way. Like when I worked at the Scotiabank movie theater on Burrard Street in Vancouver, I was a projectionist back when that was still a job. I was one of the very last before it went digital. And I used to, instead of taking the elevator, I used to walk up and down the steps all day. You know, like you can take the steps in an office building or you could go to a gym and go on a Stairmaster. But that, I don't want to do either of those. Those don't feel good. Going outside and walking next to a stream and up through all this lush greenery, and it's just beautiful. And it's right outside your door, and there's multiple 7-Elevens on the way here. Like, this is the perfect kind of exercise. And I did notice, like, when I woke up, I thought I got a pretty good amount of sleep last night, but I woke up just feeling a little like, uh-oh, I don't feel great today. And I bought a couple coffees on the way here to try to battle it back, or a coffee and a matcha. And I even took a little half an aspirin. I usually just break my little painkillers in half when I don't really need them. Like, I don't really have a headache. It's kind of more of a placebo thing, but I'm like, let me just take half of one. Maybe I'll feel better. But I just wasn't. I was like, oh, geez, yeah, I'm having a tough time today. But then I get to these steps and I start walking up them, and it does just shift your whole physiology. Your body just has to transform into a stair-walking machine. And as I mentioned before, I mean, I'm just glad that I can do it. It feels good that I'm good at this, that I can just walk up steps. And I mean, my cardio is good enough at this point. I can do a dang podcast while I'm walking upstairs. But it also just feels good because it actually feels good. Like, this is the only thing that could sweep away that just... What's the, like, how do I describe how I was feeling? Just like I didn't sleep enough, you know, that's all. Just everything feels kind of fuzzy, like there's a big fuzzy ball in my head. And everything feels a little bad. And it just washes it right away, you know? My body's like, all right, forget all that. Pump the system full of whatever it needs to make this happen. And now I feel fine. And yeah, it's literally that simple. I think I would have such an easier time settling in North America and just being okay with my North American life if I just had easier access to mountains. You know, Montreal has Mont Royal. Vancouver has a bunch of stuff, but it is a little bit of travel to get to it. Where Asia, it's just mountain town. It's ludicrous. Thousands of mountains everywhere. And I just like this lifestyle of having to walk up mountains. It just makes my whole day. This is how my day works well. This is how I feel okay about stuff. It just makes a huge difference. it feels like my body is doing what my body is meant to be doing. And yeah, all the other stuff that's neat about traveling and stuff, I mean, it's cool. It's neat to experience other places and learn about stuff and try different things, even though in my case, it's mainly just trying different things at a convenience store, you know? It's pretty shallow. But yeah, it's literally the mountains. Mountains are my super preferred method of exercise, for sure. All right, I'm a ways up. I don't know exactly where. I found a little map. Oh, I see somebody drew on this, because yeah, this map doesn't say where I am currently, but somebody made a little circle with a marker, so I think that's where I am. So I'm like a third of the way. Apparently this trail is 2,600 meters in length, and it takes about 2 hours. Elevational diagram of the old trail, I see, as I'm done the steep part, so that's nice. Till I get toward the end, and then it goes up again? Not down? Well, I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, this Tianmu Old Trail guide map. There's a little bit of English. Tianmu Old Trail is an old trail connecting Tianmu and Yangmingshan near a large water pipe. The beginning and end of the trail are steep. Tropical phenomena can be spotted, such as buttress roots, cauliflory, and asphyxiation. I feel like maybe that's a translation problem. Wow, a whole bunch of people just passed by. The cliffs here provide a home for the Taiwan macaque. And it does say up here, do not feed monkeys, do not disturb monkeys, do not contact monkeys. So this might be, you know, it's okay if I don't see a monkey. It's probably better if I don't. But yeah, I was always curious about monkeys throughout my journeys. I've never seen one. But this seems like it could be a place. Oh, this is actually handy. This map is useful. It only shows one washroom, and I think it's right where I am. I have to go off the trail a bit. Good to know. Good to know that I can go swing by the washroom before I do the massive trek. Oh, and there's another trail partway through to the Kuifeng Trail. C-U-I-F-E-N-G. I don't know what that is, but maybe on another day. But then this map, it's funny because all the sections on the map are titled in English, but then they're just in simplified Chinese. So let's try Google Translate. Let's see what we got. In English, we got old trees and old houses, the historical footprints of our ancestors. So yeah, I think it wasn't coincidence that those houses I saw seemed extremely old. Okay, so let's do the Google Translate. At the beginning of the trail, in addition to the cement bungalows built in the early days, there are also some older red brick houses, which are obvious that they were settlements in the early days. So yeah, maybe people do not live in those houses. They're just maintained because they're very old. Then Formosan rock monkey, a macaque endemic to Taiwan Island. The water pipeline trail is the easiest trail for Taiwan monkeys to be seen in Taipei City. It has the name of Monkey Cave since ancient times. You can often encounter a family of monkeys, and occasionally you can encounter male monkeys who are single. I see, and they've even got a part. The Formosa Monkey Activity Zone is coming up. The Secret of Big Water Pipe, the Grass Mountain Waterway. A large black water pipe can be seen on the left side of the trail. In the past, the Kaohsiung Waterway System brought together the water sources of the first and third water sources of... Okay, so anyway, this was, yeah, ancient waterway, and now there's a big pipe. Completed in 1932, and it is still in good condition. Because of the profound significance of the times, the Kaohsiung Riverway System is listed as a municipal monument. So that's not just a water pipe, that's the fucking mother of all water pipes. Yeah, I don't usually stop and read all the little informational stuff. I guess I stopped because I saw the monkeys. But yeah, this place is just interesting. It's neat. So, yeah, presumably there's a community on this side and there was a community on the other side, and this was the trail to get between the two back in the day. And now it's just a fun hike. Oh yeah, and I see there's little like monkey signs around, little monkey insignia on stuff. Yeah, they're all about monkeys around here. Who knows, man? Who knows? Again, I don't know. I don't know how wild monkeys are. I feel like I've heard some fairly terrifying stories of monkey attacks. But I don't know if macaques, I don't know where macaques fall into monkeys. I don't know anything about monkeys, really. I'll be fine if I don't see any monkeys, you know. Less encounters with wild animals are generally better than more. But hey, you never know. Maybe it'll happen. So this is pretty cool, the macaque trail of the Tianmu Historic Trail. I would recommend coming here to check this out just for the physical location of it. It literally is a trail, a really long trail, like a kilometer and a half, along the side of a cliff. It's really cool. But it's also somewhat disconcerting, where at the start of it, basically, I think my feeling that it might be better not to see any monkeys seemed pretty confirmed. Because the sign was pretty much all just similar to signs about boars and stuff in Japan or in South Korea. What to do if you see a monkey? And it's a lot of go on the trail on the other side of them. Don't make eye contact. Here are the signs that a monkey's angry. If you see anybody trying to feed the monkeys, tell them to fucking quit it. The words they said were literally, don't tease the monkeys. So yeah, it does seem like these are for sure wild monkeys. Maybe it's kind of neat to see a monkey, but I don't know, I'll be all right. But the other thing that's actually kind of eerie, I mean, I think this is still cool overall, but there's also a lot of falling rock signs. And then they combine sometimes, so it's a little cartoon drawing of a monkey running away from rocks. And yeah, I feel like I should have a freaking hard hat on, because you're just next to this cliffside the whole time. Really steep, and you can like literally see big rocks and stuff sort of wedged into against tree trunks and things, and it's like, man, even if just like a normal rock fell and it hit you, you'd probably be pretty hurt. But if one of those bigger ones fell, I think you would die for sure. Yeah, it legitimately seems like, you know, I've seen a lot of falling rock signs all over the place, but this is the first time I've really felt like I actually could envision myself getting hit by a rock. So yeah, eerie. Very eerie, but ultimately still really cool. And I'm always surprised how there's just stuff like this that, like, this is so close to the city. It's just such an easy thing to get to. I never heard of this before. I had no idea this was here. I mean, to be fair, I don't do a lot of research, but it's always so weird to just be walking along and you're like, man, this is super accessible, super easy to get to. And then all of a sudden you're in cliffside monkey world. Like, wow, what the heck? Cool. And as an added bonus, it hasn't even started raining, so that's extra awesome. Well, this is pretty cool. At the end of the monkey trail, I believe I may technically be inside Yangmingshan National Park, but if not, I'm like very near, very close. But at the same time, there's a bus stop. You know, there is a bus exit if I wanted to do that, but there's paths that keep going north up into the main national park. And I am a bit tempted, except that it is still crazy, crazy hot and humid and stuff. Though again, it's the multi-weather, because I guess technically it's not super, super hot right now because those clouds are still rolling in. I just glanced up through some trees and it's like, oh yeah, actually the foreboding cloud is getting more and more foreboding. It's already 3:30, so it's later than it has been starting to rain lately. But if I've learned anything, it's that, you know, these gray skies are not performative. So far, they always mean a big rainstorm is coming. So I feel like that's probably in my future. So between either the heat or the storm, going deeper into the national park, not a great idea, but there's definitely paths there. And I suppose, now that I think about it, the fact that there's a bus stop, because, you know, this wasn't a super difficult journey, but not super easy either. I mean, the steps to get up to that monkey trail, I wonder how many steps that was. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It was so many steps. So that's kind of cool. I could just figure out what bus that is and take a bus right up to here and just start from here. That could be kind of cool. But yeah, instead of going up north, instead I'm heading down a little hiking path next to a little mini river, almost like a big stream. And again, it's like all set up. There's like rocks making a path. It's kind of overgrown. Clearly not a lot of people walk here, but it's still super duper well set up. And there's a little fence alongside and flowers and stuff. It feels like I'm in a Smurf village. Oh, but here's a part where a tree fell across. No one has done anything about it. How do I get across this? But yeah, despite the fact that this is obviously not a very often used trail, it's still a really well-developed trail. But yeah, with those foreboding clouds, this seems like a good idea to just kind of start winding my way back down the mountain. But yeah, as an experiment for how to approach the mountain, it went way fucking better. The Tianmu Historic Trail went way better than when I tried to approach heading east from the west, where it was really tough. I did manage to make it to the entrance to the national park, but it was really tricky on foot by the Beitou Hot Springs. True Dragon Temple. Wow. That's just somewhere random in the mountains. What the fuck is that? Arctic Mountain North Star Zenwu Palace. Fufu Dingshan Temple. Like, how are these not video game fucking locations, you know? Like, how is this not a Skyrim map? Man. Yeah, if only, though, it were a crisp fall or winter day. The summertime, man, this is just rough. But yeah, especially if it cools down, since my whole next month is still in Taipei. But that feels like that will be not even remotely enough time to explore this national park. Not only because it's so huge, but just because of the temperature and stuff is just going to make it tough in general. But I'm going to keep picking away at it because it's a fascinating fucking place. The True Dragon Temple. What the fuck is the True Dragon Temple, you know? That's fucking cool. Man, this is how you can tell I don't know how to pronounce anything either, is that... you know, the first neighborhood I stayed in was Ximen, X-I-M-E-N, but there's also, up to the very north of the country, Ximen District, S-H-I-M-E-N. What's the difference between Ximen and Ximen? You know, I'm sure there is. I'm sure I'm saying one of them wrong. But yeah, it is funny, like, just hearing the YouTube ads and stuff from different countries. There are certain runs where every word in a Chinese YouTube commercial starts with the sh sound. And one of my friends told me that there's like a famous poem that is just variations on the word she or sh like 64 times. You know, there's so many different words that have that sound that you can cobble together a coherent poem with nothing but them. But anyway, okay, I gotta get across this fallen tree and continue my fucking adventure. So this is kind of cool. This is actually similar to what happened when I went to the sulfur springs. I was kind of just lost in the twisty mountains, but then I got to a major road and it was no problem. I just, took a while, but I just walked down that road all the way back to the center of Taipei. Similar thing here where I was walking along. I mean, there was a bus stop where I was, so it's not like I was nowhere, but very little traffic, just a little mountain road. I was walking on that weird little path next to the little stream. And I really wasn't sure how I was going to escape exactly if I didn't just wait for a bus. And I felt isolated enough that I took out my little dried mangoes that were in my pocket. And I was like, well, I better eat these, fuel up, and figure out how I'm going to escape. And then very soon after that, turn a couple of corners, head toward a thicker line on the map. And it's like, boom, there's a fucking McDonald's and a 7-Eleven and a Family Mart and another 7-Eleven down the street. Like, just total civilization, 100% civilization all of a sudden. So yeah, I'm just on, again, same thing, major road. It's got a bunch of bus stops if I needed them. It's gonna take me a while, but it started to rain a little teeny bit and then it stopped. So this is actually the best of both worlds. It's overcast, but it's not actually raining, so it just keeps it from being crazy hot. And yeah, I can just walk down this thing and eventually it'll connect up to the red line on the subway and I'll just be back in my neighborhood. So that's cool, is that the city, like the full-on city, the proper city, really encroaches like quite far up toward Yangmingshan National Park. Oh, hear that? I heard it before I saw it and felt it. It's starting to rain again. But yeah, this is really cool because there's so many bus stops. Like, I can definitely just, I guess we'll see. We'll see how far it goes. How deep in do the buses go? But they go, at the very least, to the edge of that national park. Like, it should be no problem at all. And it's still one of those things, because I have enough time in these places, because I'm not visiting for just like a quick little week or two, I kind of like this. Like, instead of just plotting out the bus route and taking the bus, oh geez, it's actually raining kind of hard. Let me get my umbrella. There we go, the pitter-patter. But instead of plotting out the bus route initially and just taking a bus straight there, I like this where, this is kind of similar to when I was walking around Jeju, is that I didn't do it continuously. I didn't like camp out wherever I stopped the day before. I always took a bus back to where I left off last time, but technically I did all the parts of the journey around the island. So this is kind of similar, is instead of taking a bus straight to one of these places, now it'll just feel better to me. It'll feel more natural. Because I've done the walk. I have walked here on foot to these various bus stops. So now if I come take a bus to one of these spots and start from here, I'm continuing the adventure, Like, I've technically done this. I don't know, it feels good to me to do this stuff on foot. But obviously on foot is wicked slow. It takes a very long time to get to these places and to make these journeys. But you can just do them in pieces, and it's all good. And yeah, assuming that the rain doesn't get fucking super crazy, I think my plan now is just to walk. So it's going to be kind of funny. This episode's going to be called, the historic monkey trail, even though there were no monkeys. I actually passed I passed quite a few people on that trail, but they were all locals except one set of fellow tourists who I think... just talking to them briefly, I think they were charmed. And I asked them if they saw any monkeys, and they also did not. And then I said, yeah, probably for the best though, right? Like, you see that sign of how to keep the monkeys from ripping your face off? And they laughed slightly. Which, I think by German standards, is an uproarious bellow of laughter. Oh, that little whatever that noise was. That does remind me, though, there were many noises on that trail that I had never heard before, so I have to assume those were monkey sounds. So I've heard a monkey in my life. Still never seen a monkey. But yeah, this is cool. I'm adding to, I guess the two major things now is there's that weird path behind the university, and then there's taking the bus back up to one of these neighborhoods at the foot of the national park. Those are my two main targets, but I think it's all weather dependent. The main issue at this point is still that in mid to late August, the weather is just a shit show. It is just fucking insane on several different axes. So the weather takes precedence. The weather will tell me what to do. But yeah, that was a nice little journey, walking up 10 zillion steps, going along a weird cliffside monkey path. And I just stopped in one of those 7-Elevens. Man, there's some pretty decent popsicles going on in Taiwan. The first one I found that it's a little bit rare. It doesn't pop up that often, but this coconut one with dried fruit in it, man, it's real good. But the other one is Hi-Chew popsicles, which I assume are probably in Japan. I really didn't buy popsicles in Japan. It wasn't warm enough. But I'm pretty sure Hi-Chew is a Japanese candy, because it reminds me of Bonkers from when I was a kid, where it has like a purple outside and then like a pale colored inside. And I'm quite sure it's a Japanese candy, because I'm pretty sure I saw someone leave some of those at a shrine before, which again, I feel like if your goal is just to leave the most inappropriate thing, a Hi-Chew is pretty good. You can't really beat that. But there's Hi-Chew popsicles, and I've gotten them a bunch of times because they're so good, where it's just like a purple popsicle on the outside, and then the inside is, it's like just a little bit gummy. Like, rather than just be straight up ice cream, it's more firm than that. It's got like a little bit of gumminess to it, and it really helps hold the whole thing together. It doesn't just melt immediately. It's really good for maintaining its integrity in this heat, and it's just fucking tasty as hell. Like, it's clearly meant for kids. It is not trying to appeal to an adult palate at all, but it's so fucking good. I also got like a milk bar. There's like a strawberry one and stuff, but there's one that it's just milk flavored. Just milk flavored popsicle. And it's just really good. It's literally what it tastes like. You know, like homogenized milk, how it's kind of like almost sweet just because it's got so much like fat in it, you know? It's that kind of milk. Like, it really is just a milk-flavored bar. But milk is a deceptively delicious thing. So that feels a little bit more like an adult popsicle, and it's really good. Hey, here's a bus stop. Mingde New Village, M-I-N-G-D-E. Mingde is one of the subway stops that is very close to my Airbnb. So yeah, getting closer and closer to home. And it's only raining a little. How nice. If I can get home without the... Because it's so mysterious, I don't even know how the inside of my boots get wet. I think it is just because of the sheer amount of rain sometimes that it's my pant legs getting wet, and then that transfers to my socks, and then that transfers into my boots. But it's enough that it's like I walked through a lake. It's ludicrous. I have a feeling I'm going to get home today and the inside of my boots aren't even going to be wet. Who could ask for more? It sure is overcast though, so who knows. But anyway, thank you for listening. Join me next time for more Taipei stuff. I predict delightfulness. All right, I'll see you then. Adios. Quick little addendum. I did make it home with, there was one point where the rain was getting a little bad. I was getting a little worried, but it didn't last too long. So maybe the death zone is over of the crazy thunder lightning storms. We will see. But again, just the beauty of free Wi-Fi. I was just like, oh, let me just see. Is there any Wi-Fi in this random fucking neighborhood I'm in? Oh, there is. So I just checked Tianmu Trail. How many steps? I've never looked that up before for anything. So I was like, I don't know if that'll even be a thing. But apparently, 1,300 levels of stone steps along the large black aqueduct. So I don't really know what that means, again, because it's not like I have anything to gauge it by. I've started to get semi-okay at figuring out what the heights of things mean in meters. 1,300 steps, I have no idea. I don't know how that compares to other things I've done. All I know is that it's a lot of steps. I was definitely feeling that on the way up, of like, you turn a corner and there's more steps. And then you go on a little flat area and then there's more steps. And then there's more steps, and then there's more steps. And I was like, this is a lot of steps. So yeah, 1,300 steps. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that's a lot of steps.